Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is another Joe Van Reads Wikipedia. I don't know if I'm going to keep making these, but I decided to make another, so we'll just take it from there. Today, I want to talk to you guys about science and gravity. So this won't be a particularly long read. I'm just going to go over the general terms and, rap about science, basically. So, if you guys got your learning caps on, if you're ready to dive in, let's just get right into it. So we're going to start with science. Science, from the Latin word scientia, meaning knowledge, is a systematic enterprise that builds and organizes knowledge in the form of testable explanations and predictions about the universe. The earliest roots of science can be traced to ancient Egypt and the Mesopotamia in around 3500 to 3000 BCE. Their contributions to mathematics, astronomy, and medicine entered and shaped Greek natural philosophy of classical antiquity, whereby formal attempts were made to explain events in the physical world based on natural causes. After the fall of the Western Roman Empire, knowledge of Greek concepts of the world deteriorated in Western Europe during the early centuries, 400 to 1000 CE, in the Middle Ages, but was preserved in the Muslim world during the Islamic Golden Age. The recovery and assimilation of Greek works and Islamic inquiries into the Western Europe from the 10th to 13th century revived natural philosophy, which was later transformed by the scientific Greek works and the revolution that began in the 16th century as new ideas and discoveries departed from previous Greek conceptions and traditions. The scientific method soon played a greater role in knowledge creation, and it was not until the 19th century that many of the institutional and professional features of science began to take shape. Modern science is typically divided into three major branches that consist of the natural sciences, i.e. biology, chemistry, and physics, which study nature in the broadest sense, the social science, examples, economics, psychology, and sociology, which study individuals and societies, and the formal science, examples, logic, mathematics, and theoretical computer science, which study abstract concepts. There are disagreements, however, on whether the formal science actually constitute a science, as they do not rely on empirical evidence. Disciplines that use existing scientific knowledge for practical purpose, such as engineering and medicine, are described as applied sciences. Science is based on research, which is commonly conducted in academic and research institutions, as well as in government agencies and companies. The practical impact of scientific research has led to the emergence of science policies that seek to influence the scientific enterprise by prioritizing and the development of commercial products, armaments, healthcare, and environmental protection. So we'll jump into a little bit of the history, and then we will dive into scientific research. From there, I will then move on to gravity. So the history. Science, in a broad sense, existed before the modern era and in many historical civilizations. Modern science is distinct in its approach and successful in its results. So it now defines what science is in the strictest sense of the term. Science in its original sense was a word for a type of knowledge, rather than a specialized word for the pursuit of such knowledge. In particular, it was the type of knowledge which people can communicate to each other and share. For example, knowledge about the working of natural things was gathered long before recorded history and led to the development of complex abstract thoughts. This is known as the construction of complex calendars, techniques for making poisonous plants edibles, public works in the national scale, such as those which harnessed the floodplain of the Yangtze and reservoirs, dams and dikes, and buildings such as pyramids. However, no consistent consensus distinction has been made between knowledge of such things, which are true in every community, and other types of communal knowledge, such as mythologies and legal systems. Metallurgy, or metallurgy, was known in prehistory and the Vinsa culture was the earliest known producer of bronze-like alloys. It is thought that early experimentation with heating and mixing of substances over time developed into alchemy. Early cultures. Neither the words nor the concepts science and nature were part of the conceptual landscape in the ancient Near East. The ancient Mesopotamians used knowledge about the properties of various natural chemicals for manufacturing pottery, faiences, probably saying that wrong, glass, soap, metals, lime, plaster, and waterproofing. They also studied animal psychology, anatomy, and behavior for divinatory purposes, and made extensive records of the movements of astronomical objects for their study of astrology. The Mesopotamians had intense interest in medicine, and the earliest medical prescriptions appear in the Sumerian during the Third Dynasty of Ur. That's from 1212 BCE to 2004 BCE. Nonetheless, the Mesopotamians seem to have had little interest in gathering information about the natural world for the mere sake of gathering information, and mainly only studied specific subjects which had obvious practical applications or immediate relevance to their religious systems. So that's some of the early culture towards science. And now we're going to jump over to scientific research. Scientific research can be labeled as either basic or applied research. Basic research is the search for knowledge, and applied research is the search for solutions to practical problems using this knowledge. Although some scientific research is applied research into specific problems, a great deal of our understanding comes from the curiosity-driven undertaking of basic research. This leads to options for technological advance that were not planned or sometimes even imaginable. This point was made by Michael Faraday when, allegedly, in response to the question, "What is the use of basic research?" he responded, "Sir, what is the use of a newborn child?" For example, research into the effects of red light on the human eye's rod cells did not seem to have any practical purpose. Eventually, the discovery that our night vision is not troubled by red light would lead search and rescue teams, among others, to adopt red light in their cockpits of jets and helicopters. Finally, even basic research can take unexpected turns, and there is some sense in which the scientific method is built to harness luck. And now I will read the scientific method. Scientific research involves using the scientific method, which seeks to objectively explain the events of nature in a reproducible way. An explanatory thought experiment or hypothesis is put forward as explanation using principles such as parsimony, also known as Occam's razor, and are generally expected to seek consonance. Oh man, I am just killing it today. Consonance, fitting well with other accepted facts related to the phenomena. This new explanation is used to make falsifiable predictions that are testable by experiment or observation. The predictions are to be posted before a confirming experiment or observation is sought as proof that no tampering has occurred. Disproof is of a prediction is evidence of progress. This is done partly through observation of natural phenomena, but also through experimentation that tries to simulate natural events under controlled conditions as appropriate to the discipline. In the observational science, such as astronomy or geology, a predicted observation might take the place of a controlled experiment. Experimentation is especially important in science to help establish causal relationships to avoid the correlation fallacy. When a hypothesis proves unsatisfactory, it is either modified or discarded. If the hypothesis survives testing, it may become adopted into the framework of a scientific theory. A logically reasoned, self-consistent model or framework for describing the behavior of certain natural phenomena. A theory typically describes the behavior of such broader sets of phenomena as a hypothesis. Commonly, a large number of hypotheses can be logically bound together by a single theory. Thus, a theory is a hypothesis explaining various other hypotheses. In that vein, theories are formulated according to most of the same scientific principles as hypotheses. In addition to testing hypotheses, scientists may also generate a model, an attempt to describe or depict the phenomenon in terms of a logical, physical, or mathematical representation, and to generate new hypotheses that can be tested based on observational phenomena. While performing experiments to test hypotheses, scientists may have a preference for one outcome over another, and so it is important to ensure that science as a whole can eliminate this bias. This can be achieved by careful experimental design, transparency, and a thorough peer review process of the experimental result, as well as any conclusions. After the results of an experiment are announced or published, it is normal, practical practice for independent researchers to double-check how the research was performed and follow up by performing similar experiments to determine how dependable the results might be. Taken in this entirely, the scientific method allows for highly creative problem-solving while minimizing any effects of subjective bias on the part of its user, especially the confirmation bias. So that's science in a nutshell for you. Obviously, I'm not talking at all about mathematics yet, or variability, or the philosophy of science, or social science, but, you know, in a more general sense, that's the opening cracking of a nutshell of science. So now, we'll move on to gravity. So gravity I'm going to read a little bit less of, but regardless, we'll just start it off here with gravity, from Latin gravitas, meaning weight, or gravitation, is a natural phenomenon by which all things with mass or energy, including planets, stars, galaxies, and even light, are brought towards or gravitate towards one another. On Earth, gravity gives weight to physical objects, and the moon's gravity causes the ocean tides. The gravitational attraction of the original gaseous matter present in the universe caused it to begin coalescing, forming stars, and for the stars to group together into galaxies. So gravity is responsible for many of the large-scale structures in the universe. Gravity has an infinite range, although its effects become increasingly weaker on farther objects. Gravity is most accurately described by the general theory of relativity, proposed by Albert Einstein in 1915, which describes gravity not as a force, but as a consequence of the curvature of space-time, caused by the uneven distribution of mass. The most extreme example of this curvature of space-time is a black hole, from which nothing, not even light, can escape once past the black hole's event horizon. However, for most applications, gravity is well approximated by Newton's law of universal gravitation, which describes gravity as a force which causes any two bodies to be attracted to each other with the force proportional to the product of their masses and inversely proportional to the square of the distance between them. Gravity is the weakest of the four fundamental forces, approximately 10 to the 38 times weaker than the strong force, 10 to the 36 times weaker than the electromagnetic force, and 10 to the 20 times weaker than the weak force. As a consequence, it has no significant influence at the level of subatomic particles. In contrast, it is the dominant force on the macroscopic scale, and is the cause of the formation, shape, and trajectory, or orbit, of astronomical bodies. For example, gravity causes the Earth and other planets to orbit the Sun. It also causes the Moon to orbit the Earth, and causes the formation of tides, and the formation and evolution of the solar system, stars, and galaxies. The earliest instance of gravity in the universe, possibly in the form of quantum gravity, supergravity, or gravitational singularity, along with ordinary space and time, developed during the Planck epoch, up to 10 to the negative 43 seconds after the birth of the universe, possibly from a primeval state, such as a false vacuum, quantum vacuum, or virtual particle, in the currently unknown manner. Attempts to develop a theory of gravity consists with quantum mechanics, a quantum gravity theory, which would allow gravity to be united in a common mathematical framework, a theory of everything, with the other three forces of physics, which are currently in an area of research. So from that beginning, let's jump down to tests. if we shall. The tests of general relativity include the following. General relativity accounts for the anomalous perihelion process of Mercury, the prediction that time runs slower at slower potentials. Gravitational time dilation has been confirmed by the Pound-Rebke experiment in 1959, the Hafele-Keating experiment, and the GPS. The predictions of the deflection of light was first confirmed by Arthur Stanley Eddington from his observation during the solar eclipse of 29 May 1919. Eddington measured starlight deflections twice. Those predictions by Newtonian corpuscular theory, probably said that wrong, in accordance with the predictions of general relativity. However, his interpretation of the result was later disputed. More recent testing using radio interferometric measurements of quasars passing behind the sun have more accurately and consistently confirmed the deflection of light to the degree predicted by general relativity. The time delay of light passes close to a massive object was first identified by Irwin I. Shapiro in 1964 in interplanetary spacecraft signals. Gravitational radiation has been indirectly confirmed through studies of binary pulsars. On the 11th of February 2016, the LIGO and Virgo collaborations announced the first observation of a gravitational wave. Alexander Friedman, in 1922, found that Einstein equations have non-stationary solutions, even in the presence of cosmological constant. In 1927, George Lemaître, probably said that wrong, showed that static solutions of the Einstein equation, which are possible in the presence of the cosmological constant, are unstable, and therefore the static universe envisioned by Einstein could not exist. Later, in 1931, Einstein himself agreed with the results of Friedman and Lemaître. Thus, general relativity predicted that the universe had to be non-static, and it had to either expand or contract. The expansion of the universe, discovered by Edwin Hubble in 1929, confirmed this prediction. The theory's prediction of frame dragging was consistent with the recent Gravity Probe B results. And last bullet to note, general relativity predicts that light should lose its energy when traveling away from massive bodies through gravitational redshift. This was verified on Earth and in the solar system around 1960. So, that will do it for my reading today. I hope you guys learned a little, or a lot, depending on how much actually, dug its way into your brain. But regardless, thanks for sitting with me and, listen to me read some Wikipedia. So, I guess until next time, keep on keeping on and, have a good time. YOLO, as they say. Adios.